Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 17. Actually, a beautiful passage, some of the most beautiful scriptures in the Word of God, this first chapter here. But look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for the Word of God that we have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust it, and that, Lord, you've blessed it to our lives. We thank you for so great a salvation that you've given. And, oh, Lord, we appreciate being partakers of that. I ask you, Father, to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I do pray that you'll take your word and touch someone's heart here today with it. I pray that we all might be blessed and drawn closer to you. And if there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul might come to know Jesus, Savior and Lord. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to say one thing about my wife. I trust her judgment. Look who she picked to marry. Smart woman. Oh, I've had a lot of fun in my life. And you know, part of it is what God did for me when He saved my soul. He changed my life. Wow, what a difference things make when you come to Christ as your Savior and Lord. Just turns everything around. Well, here is a statement. It's short, to the point. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, Billy's talking about the dispensations, and I'm very definitely a dispensationalist. I believe that's the only way you can understand the Bible correctly and put it together. And he was talking about the law this morning and about grace. I'm going to talk a little bit about them too. Think about the law for a minute. I know a lot of people don't like laws, and especially in this generation. We've got a generation that says, we don't like marriage. We just think we can just sleep together all the time and try each other out, and it's a whole lot better way than God's way. And it's not working out so well. But it's very popular. It's very popular. We don't like laws. We don't like somebody telling us, I don't want you to do that. And yet, when you take a look at the law of Moses, and let's just shorten it down to the Ten Commandments. The first four, you know why these atheists and others don't like it sitting up in the courthouse? The first four are about God. They're your relationship with God. Have no other gods before me. Don't have any graven image. Don't take the name of the Lord God in vain. So on and so forth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But have you ever thought about those next six? All law in this country is based on those next six. Everything. Somebody came up with a great, great teaching given by Moses. Moses' law. How would life be if we could just all steal from everybody and just all commit adultery with everybody and just all murder everybody? Nobody said anything about it. No. Civilization, us being able to live together, even live in one home, you have to respect some things like that. Man, what a revelation that was. What a great teaching that was when that came on the world. And the Jews preserved it and kept it. Preserved the Word of God, brought it to us. Tremendous. It's great light. And you know, it's still wrong to commit adultery. I don't care if Jesus has paid for the law for you. It's still wrong to murder somebody. In fact, it's still wrong to want what somebody else has. These laws are the basis for almost all law that we have in civilization, and especially here in America. Wonderful, wonderful. Great light. The law, as Billy said this morning, if you were in Sunday school, the law was never given to bring life. You don't keep the law to get saved because nobody keeps the law. We all fail. Every time I read the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, I say, guilty, 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 guilty. I feel bad. The law brings condemnation. When I'm driving down the road and the speed limit says 55, and I say, oh, I'm speeding. Now, I speed on the highways. I'll admit that. I don't speed in school zones. If it says 20, I'm doing 20. Now, if it says 75, I'm doing 80. A cop stopped me one time when I was doing 72. I think the speed limit was 65. I was going 7 miles above speed limit. He said, did you know you were going 72 miles an hour? I said, yes, that's what I have my cruise control set on. I said, I haven't gotten a ticket for less than 10 miles an hour in a long, 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 long time. He said, slow it down. So I slowed it down to 5 miles above the speed limit. But you know what the law does? The law condemns. The law does not give life. The law condemns. And yet that condemnation helps us live together. If we didn't have something to keep somebody... You know, I taught school for 20 years in the inner city over a period of 30 years. While I was preaching, building churches and whatever. I remember one time I came back from Guatemala and I got a job as a school teacher. And I bought me some pens. And I bought me some pencils. And I bought this nice little thing to sit on my desk for, you know, to stick the pens in and the pencils in. At the end of the first day, I didn't have a pen or a pencil. It had been a long time since I'd been back in the classroom. I'd forgotten. In every class of 35, there's a thief. Maybe a bunch of them. Did you know that? That is the truth. I started locking my pens. I went and bought me some more. I locked them in my desk and I locked my drawers. You're a real careful man. Yeah, I don't like things stolen from me. Hey, the law's beautiful. The law's beautiful. And you ought to use the law. You ought to respect the law. You ought to live by the law as best you can. But you know that sometimes you're going to fail. You're going to miss. You're going to mess up. Well, then we need forgiveness, don't we? Then we need forgiveness. Now, Moses is one of the most famous men in all the history of the world because he was the great deliverer and the great lawgiver. Now, what does it say about Jesus Christ? Real simple statement, but grace and truth. Is there a difference between law and grace? Is there a difference between law and even truth? Yes, there is. The law doesn't cover everything. The law only covers certain things. But man, grace and truth, they cover a whole lot more. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about grace? I've had a simple definition for years. I know it's very simplified. Unmerited favor. Two words. Favor to me that I did not deserve, do not deserve, never will deserve. That's grace. Now, some people think that grace is like, manners at the table or being polite to your neighbors or your friends. And that is a certain type of grace. Sometimes we say, oh, how gracefully she dances. Oh, how gracefully he talks. Oh, how, you know, we use grace in a lot of ways. But your biblical definition for grace is God's favor to you that you do not deserve. That didn't come by Moses. That didn't come by Moses. That came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What a revelation. God loves me. I don't understand. Now, I love Verlene, and Verlene loves me. This is a couple of old people. But see, I can remember when. Frank Sinatra's song, you know. I can't say it now. I've been saying it all night. Ain't she sweet? See her walking down the street. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she nice? I won't go any further. Love is a wonderful thing. And love gives us grace with people. She's not a perfect lady. I can tell you, I've been around her 60 years. But then neither am I. So she has to forgive me some things and overlook some things. And in her grace, she does that. Now what brought about the grace? Love. Love. Some of you quit too quick. You ought to fight it out. And I mean it. You ought to fight it out. Come down and win somewhere along the line. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Why? Because it reveals the love of God. I don't know exactly why she loves me or why I love her. But we did. Man, we were young. They said it won't last. You're 18 years old. Oh, 58 years. If I make two more days, if I wake up a couple more days. And she does. What a wonderful thing to be loved. I don't read a lot about love in Moses. But boy, I read a lot about love in Christ. One of the most beautiful things to me in my life was to realize that God loved me. Now I knew in my heart I did not deserve the love of God. Do you know that? I did not deserve the love of God. I wondered why God would love me. And in fact, all I could think of was that God's going to condemn me. I knew God. I knew the law. I knew the Ten Commandments. I knew I broke them. Bring them over in the New Testament. It's only two commandments. Love God supremely and love your neighbor as yourself. How about reading them? Read them once a week. Read them once a month if you want a nice, good, depressing time. You know what it'll do? You'll say, I am a sinner. I don't do that. I get up and go through the day sometimes and hardly think about God and His greatness and His goodness. And I go through the day thinking about my intentions, my wants, my desires, my satisfaction, not yours.
Amen.
So all I got to do is read the law as it's stated in two commandments in the New Testament. Love God supremely, love my neighbor as myself, and I'm guilty again. And I have to say, oh Lord, what a wretch I am. Oh Lord, how can you put up with me? Oh Lord, forgive me. Let me start all over again. And I've been restarting for 55 years. Over and over again. You know how that came about? Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus did? He fulfilled the law.
Amen.
He didn't miss it at one shot. First of all, He didn't have Joseph's blood in His system. He had the blood of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the Father. And so He was born without the taint of sin upon Him. And then when He lived His life, He didn't sin. That must have been an unusual boy. All the boys I know, they got sin that's running out their ears. Just look at them for a little while. And they'll say, wow, man, it's all in him. He's all boy. What do you mean? He's going to rebel. He's going to fight. He's going to jump. He's going to tear up. He's going to blow up. Give him a knife, he'll cut your house apart. But Jesus Christ didn't do that. He fulfilled the law of His Father perfectly. And then at 33 years old, He becomes the substitute man. Jesus is known in the Bible as the second Adam. What happened with the first Adam? He sinned. He listened to his wife. He wanted to save his wife. He wanted to save his marriage, his love. She's the only one who looked like him out of all the animals God had made. And he sinned. And every single one of us was born with a taint of sin upon us. Those little babies don't always cry when they're wet. They cry because they want attention. They tell you the whole world is against me, but you know it's really not. Sometimes you think, well, they're wet or they're dry, or they haven't had their food. Or they... No. Sometimes they're just testing you. They want to pick on you. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary as a substitute man. If I go to the cross of Calvary, I die and go to hell. If you pay for your sins, you say, I'm going to pay for my own sins. And boy, have I talked to people that talk like that. They think they are good enough or righteous enough that they can walk up before God and be better than everybody else that's there, and they're not going to have to worry. You got a big surprise coming. You're not good enough. A girl had a teacher one time. She was that crackerjack of a little teacher. I had 11 teachers that I taught, you know, young teachers coming in. She was probably one of the best. I'd try to witness to her. And she'd tell me she didn't have any sin. But she's sleeping around in her dating. But she didn't have any sin. She thought she was all right before God. There was nothing wrong with what she did. She was sinless. Believe me. Very intelligent young lady. Man, a crackerjack of a teacher. I really liked her a whole lot. But boy, is she going to wake up if one of these days she doesn't get saved. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die in your place. He died for all mankind as Adam died for sin for all mankind. Christ lived righteous and died for all mankind. As in Adam we all die, as if you're in Christ you live. Wow, great big transaction. Jesus Christ died in my place. He paid for all my sins and yours and all the other sins. In fact, He paid for sins I haven't even committed yet. He paid it all. And that brought grace. You know why God can look down on you the way He does? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. Because Jesus lived the perfect life, never failed a single time, defeated Satan out in the wilderness, went up on that cross and stayed there when He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't. He stayed there. And He did it for you. You're not worth it. In my mind, you're not worth it. In my mind, I'm not worth it. What would your anger do? They're spitting at you. They're calling you names. They're making fun of you. They're mocking you. At the feet of the cross, I'd have said, zap. But He didn't. You see, He has a love that I don't even understand. Well, I believe it, but I don't understand it. He has such a love that He can take your spitting and He can take your cursing and He can take your rebellion and still love you. And that love has created a grace. An unmerited favor. You are under grace if you're in Christ. Now what does that mean? That means God still loves you. He looks down at you and you know how you are today. You know your miserable attitude. You know that you're mad at your husband or mad at your kids or mad at your parents or mad at the way people drive on your highway. I don't know why you let them drive on your roads. You got all sorts of problems. Anybody in here doesn't have any problems? I've met a few people who said they didn't. I think they were lying. I don't believe they were telling me the truth. You got all sorts of problems. You got anger issues. You got payback vengeance issues. You got pride issues and somebody's hurt your feelings. I think one of the worst things about human beings is their pride. They get their feelings hurt so easily. So easily. Be careful. Don't you let your pride, don't you let your feelings keep you away from the will of God. Keep you away from the blessing of God. Keep you away from the service of God. There are people sitting home this morning because somebody, Sunday school teacher, a deacon, somebody that just happened to meet, did something they didn't like and they're never going back. How foolish, how foolish. Bernie's done a lot of things I didn't like and I'm still coming back. Hey, I've done a lot of things she didn't like. It's natural. Just the way I do things she does not like. You understand what I'm talking about? Put two people in a house. Is that a problem? Well, hey, you got a year of marriage there. Praise the Lord. See if you can make it to 60. You're going to have to forgive each other. You're going to have to ignore each other. You're going to have to put up with some things. One of you is going to be messy and one of you is going to be neat. Every house. There are no houses where both of them are neat. The guy drops his socks on the way through the kitchen. And he never thinks about picking them up. Right? You know what I'm talking about. God loved you so much. His grace covers all your failures. Amen. I had a very good daddy, my physical father. I knew he loved me. Oh, he disciplined me. He made me work. He taught me a lot about work. Taught me a lot of things to do. But I knew he loved me. All I had to do was to get into Guatemala, come by my house and said, your dad said to come by and you'd do this. I'd have done it. All I had to do was to tell a man on the Mexican border, when you're going through San Antonio, drop by and tell my dad you saw me. Why, shoot, dad took him in, took him out to eat, put him up for the night, helped him out along the way. Well, all he had to say was, I saw Lindell at the border. He helped me out at the border. Boy, that's the way we are. Are you a part of the family of God? Do you know what it means to be a part of the family of God? It means grace. It means God is going to favor you. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I've been favored.
Amen.
I think if God has any spoiled children, I'm one of them.
Amen.
I have been favored. I have been blessed. You mean you've never been sick? No. Never been angry? No. I don't mean that. I've had just as many troubles as you had. I've had just as many disappointments as you have, but oh man, covering it all is grace. God just keeps blessing me. God just keeps blessing you.
Amen.
He blessed some of you for 80 years. What are you going to say? Well, I don't like that. No, I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. I love God. Why? The grace of God has just been showered upon you every morning like the dew.
Amen, amen, amen.
And all of your problems are as nothing in comparison to that grace, that favor, that blessing that God has showered on you all of your life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You know what it ought to make us? Humble.
Amen.
Oh, we're a proud and cocky bunch. We really are. But we ought to be humble.
All right, amen.
To have so much grace, to be forgiven of so many things, to just be accepted. I know you didn't pay any attention to me, but you're accepted. You're accepted in the brethren. You're accepted among the beloved. You're accepted in the family of God. You're accepted in the house of God. You're a son of God and an heir of heaven. That's grace. What did you do? Simply believed.
Amen.
You didn't do any great work.
That's right. Amen.
And even if you did, it's not worth it.
Amen.
You think your worth would remove one of your sins?
All right. Amen.
You think your visiting 500 houses would take care of an adultery?
All right.
No. No. What I'm telling you is the love of God is such a great big thing, and it's a big thing in your life that it spreads this grace all over you. I'm thankful. Not only humble, it makes me thankful. I have some bad days. But you know, I have to be thankful for what God gave me in His grace. His great salvation. What did I do? Well, I got convicted by the law. Bible says the soul is sinneth, it shall die. A friend of mine died. My age. My truck, my run in the Air Force. I was supposed to be on that truck. I was supposed to do that run, and I would have done the same things he did. That's the way we did them. We got careless with gasoline because we used it in it 8-10 hours a day. Didn't worry. Weren't afraid of it. Blew him, threw him 30 feet. Died 11 days later right here in Brooks. They shipped him from Roswell, New Mexico. And you know what? I said, that was my truck and my run. That'll get your attention. Hey, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. But hey, there was another 20-year-old that died. Yeah, he's dead. I'm alive. And I thought, what if that had been me? Where would I be? In hell. You ever come to that realization where you'd be if you died without Christ? I came to it. I can't say that I really knew a lot about the love of God. I had some fear of God in me, and I believed in God. Evolution never tempted me at all. I've always believed in God. I just look at the world, and the world says God everywhere in it. Everywhere. I said, I can die too. And if I die, where am I going to go? I'm going to go into hell forever, if I read the Bible right. And I was raised up in a Christian home. I memorized Scripture, went to Sunday school until I got big enough where I didn't have to. I'd be in hell today. And wow, that started me thinking. My neighbor comes over and witnesses to me. He said, come on to church. Yeah, okay. We went to church Sunday morning. Good service. Nice church. They came over to Co. in the afternoon. I said, what are you talking about? I just went this morning. Once a month ought to be good enough for any fine Christian, right? He said, man, you just came this morning. Come on back tonight. I said, oh, she was pregnant with Billy, just about ready to deliver. I said, oh, no, she's too tired. She couldn't handle it. I'd like to go. And that night, the preacher nailed me. He nailed me. I don't know how many people were in that auditorium, seated about 500. I'm way back on the next to the last row. And he's been plowing with my heifer. He'd been talking to my wife. I don't know where he got his information. But boy, did he hit me. Yeah, that's right. I went home and got saved. Boy, I didn't understand a whole lot of what I know now. I just knew if I called upon God, He would save my soul. I called upon God. I confessed my sins. I was up all night long. I cried for 24 hours. But I got saved. I got changed. God did something inside of me. God moved upon me, touched my heart. I could feel Him. I could sense Him. I talked to a man, a very honest man, a man I knew very well. One time I asked him, have you ever been touched by God in a service? He said, no. Hard for me to believe. And yet I believe him. I think he was one of the most honest men I ever knew. And I knew him well. He said, no. I've been touched. Amen. I've been touched. In fact, I can't hardly go through an invitation after somebody's preached the word that I don't get touched. I ought to make a trip down the aisle almost every time an invitation is given to get something right with God.
Amen.
I'm touched. I'm moved. I'm moved upon by the Spirit of God. And when He does, it convicts me, and I know I don't live up to what He's given me. I don't live up to what I have.
Amen.
God, in His grace, just keeps loving me.
Amen.
Just keeps receiving me. Just keeps blessing me. Just keeps adding on. And this morning, I woke up another day. By the grace of God. Do I deserve to be this old? No, I don't. I never thought I'd be this old. Some of you are going to get fooled. You're going to die early, and some of you are going to get old. Let me tell you something. God's great love in Christ brought every one of you that has accepted Him as your Lord and Savior into this state of grace to where you're just blessed. Every day of your life, you're just favored by God. God just keeps adding joy after joy and blessing after blessing, and He piles them on and just keeps piling them on. That's the love of God. How big that love is. Big enough to save your soul. Big enough to forgive your sins. Big enough to just bless you when you don't deserve to be blessed. Why should I be saved? A lot of my friends aren't saved. Half of them I went to school with are already dead. Probably most of them didn't know the Lord. Why should I be saved? All I can say is grace. God came down and favored me and favored my family and just keeps adding blessing onto blessing onto blessing onto blessing. That's the story of my life for the last 55 years. How about you? What's your relationship with the Lord today? Is it grace? Can you tell you've been favored by God? Wow. Wow. That's something. You ought to be humble and you ought to be thankful. Billy was teaching in Galatians this morning. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Here's an interesting thing. He's writing to the Galatians. Paul led these people to the Lord, showed them the grace of God and salvation by the love of God and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ in their place to make them righteous and accepted by God. That was his salvation. And look what he says. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's saying, how could you start out with the gospel of the grace of God, knowing that it's all on Christ, it's all the righteousness of Christ, it's not you, it's not your works, it's not your service to God, it's not your dedication, it's not your prayer. It's all of grace, it's all the love of God that He showed upon you. All you have to do is believe and receive. And somebody comes down there and says, you need to become Jews before you can be Christians. You need to be circumcised, you need to keep the law of Moses. And some of these poor, simple people believed them. And Paul says, how? I don't understand how you could so soon be removed. But you know, I've seen it. Excuse me. I've seen it. People get confused by some charismatic teacher. People get confused by some personality. They get confused and think they're good and they're keeping the law and they're righteous. And everybody's got to be as righteous as them. Do you realize how unrighteous you are?
Amen. Amen.
If you understood how unrighteous you are, how filthy you are, how you smell bad before God, you'd never think about your own righteousness. Bless your heart, you may be the best person in this room. I hope you are. But you're not good enough to meet God.
Amen.
You're not good enough to walk into His presence. You're not good enough to plead your case. You need a lawyer, and that lawyer is Jesus Christ. You can't get any other. And if you don't have Him as your lawyer, you don't have Him as your substitute, don't have Him as your Savior, you're lost.
Amen.
It's amazing, amazing how the world wants to run back after the law. It's pride. God hates pride. But that's pride. Have you ever really decided you were going to quit something? But really had you? That's pretty hard to do. Most people fail. How many New Year's resolutions were made in January that were broken by before February? That's what most of us are. I would like to say, oh, we're all strong people and we're all going to live by the Ten Commandments. We're all going to live by the love of God. We're all going to... Yeah, right. Till somebody hurts your feelings.
Amen.
Till somebody says something you don't like. We are pitiful without the grace of God. We really are. Man, man, you trust yourself? Let me tell you, I'd hate to let you down, but I don't trust you.
Amen.
I'm really sorry to put you down that way, but I don't trust you. Let me tell you something else. I don't trust me. I trust Christ.
Amen.
Jesus died in my place. Jesus paid my debt. Jesus is my priest. Jesus is my lawyer. Jesus is my Savior. And all of it's by grace, by the love of God, showered down upon me with favor after favor after favor after favor. I'm so thankful I'm saved. If you look in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, you'll find a throne of grace.
Amen.
That's yours. That's where you go. That's where you can go this afternoon. That's where you can go tonight. That's where you can go when you got real troubles. You got death coming in the family? There's a throne of grace. You got sin in the family tearing things up? There's a throne of grace.
Amen.
There's a throne of grace where God will meet with you and treat you with grace. You know, God's awful big. He's awful smart. A whole lot smarter than all these people that say there is no God. And yet this great, mighty, smart, impressive God will meet you at a throne of grace. Grace for you. Grace emanating from God upon you. You can bring Him any question you want. You can bring anything to Him you desire. And you know what? He'll hear. He'll answer. He'll give you the best answer you ever had. You can be just as selfish as you want to be. Or you can be just as spiritual as you want to be.
Amen.
But at this throne of grace, you get to make your request. And you make your request like a child with his father. You make the request as a favored son. You make the request as a welcome person to come into his meeting. You don't have to stand off and worry about how you're going to be received. You already know. If you know the Scriptures, if you know the Bible, if you understand anything about salvation, you're going to be received with grace, with love showered upon you. He cares for you. He knows your needs. You have never had a problem He didn't anticipate.
Amen.
You've never had a problem He can't fix. You've never come to Him when He slapped your face and turned you down. I don't believe my God ever punishes any of His children with cancer. I don't believe He punishes them with car wrecks. Now, you're going out and drinking. You might have a car wreck, and that would be the natural result of your drinking, but that's not God's direct punishment. God has so much love for you, you're more welcome there at that throne of grace than I am at my Father's house. And I was always welcome. And I knew it. He loved me. I was important to him. Wow. Christian friend, you've been feeling bad lately. You've been sort of feeling down in the dumps, things not exactly going your way. Why don't you just confess your pride and your sin and get right with God and come to the throne of grace and let Him just shower you with favor? My dear lost friend, you might be here. You've never really trusted Christ, never really believed Him as your Savior. Why don't you just try Him? Why don't you come down here, get on your face and ask Him to forgive your sins and save your soul? You know what you'll find? You'll find a God that loves. You'll find a God that hears and answers prayer. You'll find a God that'll reach out and do more than you ever thought He could possibly do. All I did was get saved. But He just added blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And here I am, 76 years old, and He's still blessing.
Amen.
Why don't you come to this God of grace? Why don't you trust this God of love? Yeah, I know you got the law by Moses. I know you got your own pride that you're better than some other people inside this room. Yeah, I know that. Why don't you just come to the God of grace bought for you? That grace bought for you by Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Why don't you just come to that God that just, He loves you. He loves you. He wants to love on you.
Amen.
He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to heal your sickness. He wants to bless your mind. He wants to take that hurt away. If you're here without Christ, why don't you come to the Savior? It's the only way. There's no other salvation outside of Jesus Christ. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus, and it's Jesus only. No other name, no other way. You will never be good enough to pay for one of your sins.
Amen.
Christ has already done it for you. Why don't you come to Him? Let's stand and sing number 199 in the hymnal. 199 in the hymnal.